Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. Today is Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2024. It's after 1 p.m. as we record. Brianna was a few minutes late here, and she'll get a fine. Brianna, okay, being our fine crew beat writer.
It might be your first
in the studio. But there would be many more to come. Kyle Robertson, the striker, with us. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. And unfortunately, the podfather, Patrick Flaherty, remains at the controls. He is our producer. I'm Mike Arace. Thanks for joining us. Let's get right to it. The game that was, I think we'll start with the most recent here, Brianna. Crew 0 at Charlotte 2. I read that like an international guy. The game was a complete mess. The coach wasn't there because he was sick.
Good game to miss.
It was the sine qua non, but of scab refereeing in the league. In that sense, it wasn't an unusual game. It's been a brutal thing to this point. We'll get into the referee's lockout being over in a second. But take us through Saturday in Charlotte on the fake grass.
You mean the longest first half in MLS history?
Yeah.
It definitely felt like it, too. The number didn't lie. It started in the most bizarre way with two false starts.
It was longer than Killers of the Flower Moon.
I've never seen anything like it. And then it just, the hits kept going. You got two crew players, Rudy Camacho and Christian Ramirez, go down on the turf. And then we have the Derek Jones red card that very controversial, I know. And then
it got more controversial because there was a non-call that
went straight to red.
There was a non-call that went straight to red on Derek Jones. But later in the game, a Charlotte guy basically did the same thing, stepped on someone's ankle, and there was nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, right. I mean, that's been the league with the scab refs. No one knows what a foul is. That's not just the crew or Charlotte. That's everyone in the league.
And then they're using the beauty cam to decide offsides, which is...
Oh, I know.
I couldn't believe they...
I rewound. I was watching the game at halftime. I rewound and I was like, my eyes didn't deceive me. That was so far onside. It was unbelievable.
What a great buildup, too. I mean, it was a great
goal.
Yeah.
So anyway, please, Brianna, I'm sorry. That's a fine for me.
We had a Cucho goal overturned because of the beauty shot offside. And then it just kept going and going. And then the missed penalty kick to end the half. Yeah. It was kind of just made it perfect.
Call anyway in the box.
Oh yeah,
wait, what?
It was a bad call on Mo Farsi, I believe, in the box.
It was Yao. It was Yao Lubowa. Yeah.
And he barely touched the guy.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, it was even a little bit of shoulder to shoulder. It wasn't even egregious, but shoulder to shoulder. And with the guy's penalty kick, that thing's still in the air.
Oh my goodness.
It's circling the earth right now.
That's when they're like, you know what? Let's end it. Let's go to the locker rooms.
All right. Well, we mentioned a referee strike. Don Garber maintained an intransigent anti-union position, and he put the importance of nickeling and diming the Professional Soccer Referees Association ahead of the integrity of the game. And God, it did not. It was not a good look for the league. He finally had to cave because every Saturday was turning into an international jerk on Apple TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The officiating Charlotte was not an outlier. That's how all these games are going. You scroll through some of the newspapers that cover teams, and you're reading the same thing. The coach is coming out and saying, scratching his head, if not pulling his hair out. And that's both sides in every city throughout the league. The league finally cried Ted Uncle, but they had a deal done in mid-February, and Garber wanted to take a hardline stance. Finally, the Professional Referees Organization, which is pro, which assigns all professional referees in the United States, is truly under the thumb of MLS, generally, and Garber specifically. They finally relented, right, and actually gave in to the vast majority, right, of the referees' demands. Well,
didn't they have a referee, was it last week or the week before, they pulled off halfway through because they found photos of them wearing one of the teams or something?
I thought that was true.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean,
yeah,
we remember what it was like here. I mean, Yair Marufo, who's now a highly respected referee, but yeah, he went here in Columbus. He went into it was Blanco.
Blanco, yeah.
Chicago was here, and Blanco was going around. He looked like Al Capone out there. There were just guys dying of gunshot wounds all over the field. And after the game, Marufo went and got a Blanco jersey.
Yeah.
Just gonna run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, thank goodness they finally came to their senses, because I think Wilfried talked about it today at training, Brianna. Hey. I mean, he might have mentioned that this was a joke.
Well, he was talking about the whole game in general. And first of all, he is back, and he's back all good with the team. He's feeling healthy again. But yeah, he was just talking about how his friends from all across the world were reaching out, he used the word destroying the league because of just the game that they watched on Saturday. There was also a conversation about the turf that they were playing on in Charlotte, because they usually play on grass, right, and then you go to Charlotte, you play on turf, and there's been many players who've gotten hurt, even from Charlotte itself. So it's just it was a culmination of everything that could go wrong in the league going wrong on Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, you know, for anyone who really loves this league, you know, Garber sometimes wants to make you kill yourself.
Yeah. Well, he bends the rules for certain teams. Well, like, you know, you should have a stadium ready to go.
Think of it this way. Yeah. If like, okay, these referees are not the Messi of international referees, the MLS referees. But you know what? They are the best in North America and among the best in the world. And, you know, they talk about all these players they bring in that were great players or are great players. Yeah. And that's how the league's going. And they're going to give them referees like this over, again, nickels and dimes after their greatest revenue. It's just ridiculous. It's Andrew Carnegie, steel strike from crap. And it's,
but what do you expect? I mean, that's how he's nickeled and dimed everything to build up this league for the last 25 years.
Okay, let's move on. Upcoming.
Well, I do want to mention, too, when Nancy confirmed, talked a little about the injuries during the press conference today, too. And he said that Rudy Camacho, he's expecting to hopefully be back next week. And Christian Ramirez, he said, could take a little longer. Didn't provide an exact timeline, but instead they're both dealing with leg injuries.
Yep. Well, they lost Sands last year, right?
Yeah, on turf. Right. Yeah.
And then also
New England.
Was it here?
No, it was on one of the turf fields.
It was in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then also they didn't appeal to Derek Jones' red card.
See, I would have. I think the internal thinking has to be, the league doesn't want the scab reps to look anywhere, so they're not going to turn over the call, you know.
Weak call. The guy was diving in anyway.
He was a play on the ball. Okay, upcoming, Brianna. We have another roadie for the crew. This one in Nashville on Saturday night. How's Nancy's health, and what's he talking about heading into this game?
He seemed good. It just felt like he was sick. He mentioned watching the game from his house. He got to be a little more vocal than he is on the sidelines. But I think they're just looking to move past this anatomy of a game. It was just like such an outlier in what to expect overall in a game. I think they're just looking to move past it and build back momentum, especially because they're going back into CONCACAF play starting Tuesday.
Yeah.
Patrick, do we have any audio of Wilfried Nancy watching the game at home on Saturday? No, that's unfortunate. We'll effort to get some of that.
Come on, Pod. That'd be great. Something around here.
How many languages would he be watching
that? He mentioned that his son said to him that you're a little louder here than you are on the sidelines.
Okay, looking at the schedule ahead, Brianna and Kyle, they're coming into another one of those congested mm-hmm. intersections. On Tuesday, April 2nd, which is upcoming, we just mentioned they're in Nashville on Saturday. On Tuesday, the 2nd of April, home versus Tigres. On Saturday, the 6th, they're home versus DC United in a league game. And Tuesday, April 9th, is the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal against Tigres, and that's in Monterrey. And then they come back on the 13th at Real Salt Lake. So that's three games in 8 days and 4 and 12 in three different time zones. Brianna, it's time to buckle up again.
I know. They just keep moving and keeps going. Never-ended season.
Has he touched on how he's looking at rotation as he looks ahead? And, of course, we also have to factor in, Kyle's going to talk about it in a second, we have to factor in national team service.
Well, they are. I did see today they were all back. We had Patrick Schulte, Aiden Morris, Nicholas Hagen, and then Jason Russell Rowe. Yep. We're all back from international duty. So that'll be an addition. I know that Nancy likes having a few crew two guys too, yep, just in the mix. I know he likes to mix it up too. But I think right now, I think you start off with your regular rotation, and then I think you saw kind of the adjustments. It's probably like one or two, just going based off what he did the last congested stretch. It's just like one or two replacements within the starting lineup every game.
Now, I think the iron of the Eastern Conference and among it is the crew is establishing itself now. You take a peek at the standings. Cincinnati is 11 points in five games, is on top of the East, 3-0-2, plus three, 2-0 on the road. They just kind of play solid and wait for Lucho Acosta to make his magic. Miami in second place, they're banged up right now, but they have 10 points in six games. Other teams have a game in hand because Garber forced them to play early games for television ratings with scab referees. Anyway, Miami, 10 points in six games, 3-2-1, 13 goals for, 9 against, plus 4. Messi is among eight who missed Saturday's game in New Jersey, and they got thrashed by the New York Red Bulls, speaking of whom, they're in third place with 10 points in five games, 3-1-1, plus 3. This is not pure Red Bull soccer they're playing. This coach is interesting. That's a good team. We saw him here, and of course the crew pounded on him 3-0 a few weeks ago. If you saw him last weekend against the depleted Miami team, you get a real healthy sense of how powerful this team could be. Fourth place crew, 10 points, really a tight for second, Miami and New York and Toronto for all practical purposes. But 10 points in five games, 3-1-1, 7-4, 4 against, plus 3. And then fifth place, Kyle, is Toronto for real? 10 points in five games, 3-1-1, plus 3. Okay. Not for real. Do you have any thoughts on the subject, Brianna?
I think it's going to be interesting to see during this stretch if the crew state just maintains where they are or are able to pick up a couple points.
I think that game in Salt Lake is going to be interesting, mm-hmm, coming off Monterrey and being the last game in 4 and 12 days or whatever it is. That's one to circle on the calendar.
I think
Kyle will be watching his Apple TV.
You got it.
I think it's going to be interesting to see the Nashville starting lineup because you don't have Derek Jones, you don't have Camacho, and you don't have Ramirez. And I mean, like, I guess they have Sean Zawatsky, though, who can slide in anywhere. So I can definitely see him starting at in the middle and the back line.
All right. Last subject to tackle here. The international window that just closed. And
big
of course,
on both fronts.
Yeah, we in Columbus had our eyes on the U23 team for obvious reasons. On Wednesday, USA 2, France 2. Those are the U23s. It was a friendly in Montbéliard, France.
Came back or tied it.
Two late goals, 86 in the 89th minute. Aiden Morris started and played 83 minutes. Patrick Schulte started in goal, went to full 90, and you should see those highlights. He had a couple of great A saves in that game.
Well, Kyle, yep. Thoughts on the jerseys, their uniforms?
You know, I feel like they keep on pushing. I mean, I love the old classic USA jerseys. I think now they're just, I don't know. They just keep on. It's just not, I don't know. I don't like them.
I want every Olympics to be the 60 Olympics in Rome. You know what I mean? Those USA.
I mean, what about the ones from 94? The three stripes on the leg and then up. You know, I think the women's jerseys are better than.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah.
And you know what's it's one thing that's good about Team USA jerseys. Unlike the Cucho authentic jersey that you can buy at Crew Stadium, the USA ones don't cost $250.
Yeah.
Those billionaires, they're crushing the regular people. I mean, your kid wants a USA jersey.
Any soccer
you know how many
jersey.
Lawns he's got a motor for his freaking Cucho jersey?
Have you been to Soccer Village yet and looking at all the jerseys? I mean, everything's like 80 to 100 to 150 bucks.
Stop talking
sure.
250, though, Kyle. Come on, man. There's a difference. There's a 100% difference. You know, France and U.S., maybe something of a preview. They're in the same group. They meet July 24th in the Olympics at Paris.
Well, it's a first time since what, 2008?
Yeah.
Since they were there.
The U23s have been on a bad jag. Porter had one of those teams.
All right. Guess what two crew players were associated with the crew were on that roster in 2008.
Tell us, please.
Well, one was the one of the godfathers of the crew. Brian McBride, he was one of the overage guys, I think around like 35 coming in.
Right.
And then a guy who kind of slips through the history, but it was a real good midfielder. And I think he moved to left back on some other teams, but Robbie Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Was part of the championship team, too. He made, I think he played most of the group stage. So that's how long ago it's been since, you know, the Olympics. And there's all sorts of Stuart Holton was on that team. I mean, a whole bunch of.
It's been a bad run since. Yeah. So anyway, July 24th at the Olympics, the Paris Olympics, USA will play France again. Those two teams are in a group with New Zealand and an Asia-Africa playoff winner will be the other team. So three groups of four teams in the Olympics. And, you know, this could be a lot of fun for Aiden Morris and Patrick Schulte, a couple of homegrowns here. Playing for your country at the Olympics.
Well, and plus now it's like back to, you know, the last Olympics, there was still dealing with COVID and not a lot of the fans were there and that kind of stuff. But to be in Paris, I think it's going to be pretty awesome for them. And, you know, maybe there's, one of the three overages, you know, maybe Nagby gets a call or, you know, I don't know who else you'd want to put on there. But I mean, there are people who. Help them out.
Definitely. Okay, prior to that, USA 3, Guinea nothing in a friendly. Aiden Morris came on in the 63rd, I should say. Schulte backed up Chris Brady, who was a late call-in to this camp, and that was in Girona, Spain. And do you know where Girona, Spain is, Kyle? All about the 2008 Olympic team, but you don't know where Girona is.
No.
Well, Kyle, Girona is the capital city of the province of Girona in the autonomous community of Catalonia, Spain, at the confluence of the Ter Anyar and Gagliance and Gueli rivers. The city has I'll stop there.
So he just said it off the top of his head. He didn't even look at his computer or anything. It's impressive.
Thank you very much. It's a lovely culture. It's just outside.
Did you read a book about him?
Just outside. I did.
About the city?
During this podcast, I did.
See, Kyle has select knowledge. Yeah. There's only so much knowledge that you can have.
And now the U.S. men's national team, the senior team last Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
A dos estero over El Tri, Mexico, in Arlington, Texas, in Jerry Jones' building.
Yeah. I mean, two great goals. You got, the Tyler Adams bomb that he had, the long-range shot that went in. And, you know, it's great to see him back with the U.S. national team. He's such a, to play that back line, midfield D is really, really important. So I think that was his first game in like a year and a half. And then, Greg's boy, Gio, scores the second goal from Pulisic, kind of comes in, kind of takes a shot and kind of deflects out. And the other game, the game before the semifinals, the one you should talk about, where they pretty much.
Well, I'll get into that.
Yeah.
It's your show. It's your show. Thanks for coming. Thursday. As Kyle said, the semifinals of the CONCACAF Nations League, USA 3, Jamaica 1, and probably sometime around halftime or certainly before the end of the second half, Kyle, our friend Triple G was might have been feeling a little heat on his seat.
Yeah, I can't imagine if they would have lost that game and getting that late goal. Like, I think I don't know if he would have survived. I mean, to lose like that to, you know, in a semifinal. I mean, it's.
But they didn't.
They didn't. So they got a crazy, I think, own goal shot header off the corner, and then they got two goals in OT, you know, sudden death or
so
whatever you want
to call
it.
The taste of that out of your mouth with a dose of syrup.
You do, but still, like, there's the underlying problem.
You national team
give
fans.
Give me Nance.
Just terrible.
Thanks. Send them back to
You're
Europe.
Like Patriots fans. It's awful. You know,
but it's just, do you have faith in your guy?
I do. He's my boy.
He is.
Brianna, anything you want to add before Patrick throws us out of here?
No, I think, like I said, I think we covered it.
Stay tuned. A lot of games upcoming. We'll be back with you. Please check out all of Brianna's fine work at dispatch.com. For Brianna McKay and the striker, Kyle Robertson, he's fired up now. He wants to fire everyone. Just firing everyone. Podfather Patrick Flair is at the control for you as well. Mike Ares, thanks for joining us. Patrick, kick us out of here.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.